Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Have you all had a good few days resting, relaxing, chilling out? How many of you are back at work already? Yeah. That's the reality of life, isn't it? But it's nice, isn't it? Just have a bit of time to relax and catch your breath a bit and have a few lazy days before the start of a new year. And I'm looking forward to 2013 and everything God's going to be doing in us, amongst us, through us. And it's going to be a great year, an exciting year. But before we get into that, we're going to have a short message, short word. And as usual, need a few people to give me a hand and to help me out with this one. How many of you ever sit down and just think about God? You know, so often we can get into just reading the Bible or doing what we might do. But how many of you ever sit down and just think, wow, what does God look like? What is the throne room of heaven like? Did anybody do that? You know, do you imagine, what's the throne of God like? What's it like? All the elders and the living creatures it talks about in Revelation, the book of Revelation. How many of you think, what does that look like? What does that sound like? Must be incredible. And how many of you just, you sit there sometimes and think, and before you know where you are, you're like, wow. And you're kind of there. No, am I the only person that does that? And, you know, when you do that, it gives you a totally different perspective on your own life and on things and on situations and on people and what God's doing. And there's a verse in Psalm 132 that says here, let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. That's what's going on in heaven. God is on his throne and everything in heaven is bowing down at his footstool, worshiping him, giving him adoration in this awesome kind of majestic, holy environment, atmosphere, because he is majestic and holy. And so that's what's going on in heaven. And that's where we belong. God has created us to be people of worship. So I need somebody who can be God this morning. Bit of a tall order. Julian. I knew you knew I was going to ask you, didn't you, mate? So let's welcome Julian this morning. Come on then, you can be God. Let's welcome Julian, shall we?
All right, mate.
Good, mate. Yeah, good.
I'm a seat.
That is your throne, yeah. God is seated on his throne, and say this is the rest of the world, okay? And he's seated on his throne, and he's looking over everything that is going on. And now, we have one or two things to help us this morning. This is Chad's sword. From somewhere or other. This is your this is the word of God or the sword of the spirit. You might hold that with two hands, yeah. And now, the Bible says that the word of God is alive. It's living and active. It says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Okay, and so the word of God is much sharper than a two-edged sword. But what God does when we worship at his footstool. The footstool is the place where God rises and then begins to speak. That's what actually happens in the Bible when you read about God's footstool. It's not just a place where he's got his feet up. He's not having a Christmas break, smoking a pipe and just wondering what's going on. It's a place where God rises, where he stands and then begins to decree, where he begins to give commands, where he speaks. And so his word is released from his throne. And God speaks, and that's where his life and his power is released from. And so as we worship at his footstool, as we humble ourselves before God, then God rises and he begins to speak. If you just want to hold that, like it's a little bit more. That's it.
Okay.
Cool. And so God releases his word. Now, his word will always cut through everything else that's going on. His word will always defeat and overcome. If his word is sharper than a two-edged sword, this thing could do some damage, right? So if you kind of thrust that towards something, not somebody, but something, that's probably going to go through the wall over there. If you did that on the ground, it would probably go make a big mark in the stage. Why? Because it's designed to go through things. Now, the word of God does the same, but even more effectively, whenever the word of God is released, it's so that something happens, something is released, something goes through to the place where it's supposed to go to. So we worship the God who is holy, he's majestic, he's awesome, and he's clothed in splendor and majesty, might, power. And so we worship at his footstool. We humble ourselves. And in that place where we humble ourselves, he then speaks and commands and decrees and releases his word. All right. And when that happens, we then rise with what he says, with his word, with his commands, decrees. And then we know how to move out with his word and in the power of his might going with us. Okay. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? So we're just kind of little people on the earth about that size compared to God. But he says, as you worship at my footstool, I speak and decree and release my commands and speak. And then you rise with me and then you go with that word, with the power, the authority and the might of who I am, with that in your life. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? That's why this morning some of the music, you know, it's like, come on, you know, it doesn't even, I know it's kind of going and everything, but even that doesn't resemble the power, the majesty, the might, the force of who he is, you know. And, you know, the music this morning for me, it's like, come on. There's a sound of heaven in one sense, but the roar and the sound of heaven would blow the building apart, would blow us apart, you know, if the sound of it was really released on earth, the full force of heaven, the power of who he is, the might of who, are you getting something this morning? Just the magnitude rather than, you know, well, nice, lovely Jesus, meek and mild in a manger. You know, he came as a baby, but he was actually Lord and the mighty one, the king, the majestic one, the awesome one. So in the natural, we say, oh, you know, this little thing, this little baby, but actually he came, he humbled himself, became nothing so that he could go through the cross, defeat the enemy and overcome sickness, death, hell, the whole lot. Why? Because he submitted himself to the one who was seated on the throne. So Jesus himself humbled himself before the Father so that he could operate with the word and the spirit of God in his life to fulfill everything that he was supposed to fulfill and that he was called to be. And so as we do the same, then we'll fulfill everything that God has called us to be and in how he wants us to be. Now, do we just relate to God as this mighty, majestic, awesome one? What did Jesus come to do? He came to reveal the Father. And I love some three little blocks of verses we're going to look at quickly this morning. And how Jesus revealed the Father and God's heart to people. Now, got to remember, in that culture, in that day, the religious people, the Pharisees, portrayed God as untouchable, unreachable, that you're not good enough because you don't do the right stuff on the outside. You don't fulfill the things you're supposed to. Therefore, you're not good enough. You can't reach God. He's too far. So they made God too far off, too far away and everything. And so what Jesus came to do, he came to show them that actually you can have relationship with the Father and what that relationship can be like. So the first verse we're going to look at is in Mark chapter 10. When people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. But when he saw this, he was indignant. It made him angry. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them and bless them. Now, Jesus simplifies something here. We make it complicated because often we base our relationship with God on what we do. Whereas what Jesus shows here, he's saying people were bringing the little children to Jesus to have him touch them so he could touch them. The disciples were trying to stop that from happening. But then Jesus was angry and said, hey, guys, hang on. Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And then he goes on to say, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So he wasn't saying just be like children in terms of being childish, but he was saying, look, don't complicate this relationship. From a religious point of view, you've got to try and fulfill this, that, and the other. But actually, you can come to the Father in a childlike way, and that God is ready to respond and to receive you, because God wants to touch your life. God wants to do something in your life. He wants to become real. And Jesus, in one sense, showed by the children coming to him and they sat on his lap, or he touched them, prayed for them, blessed them. He showed them the closeness that the Father actually wants with us as people. That, yes, God is mighty, he's majestic, he's awesome, he's incredible, but yet at the same time, he's very personal, intimate. He wants that friendship, that child-father relationship. He wants us as sons of God to come close to God. And Jesus was demonstrating that, saying God is not far off. God is very tangible. God is very real. The Father wants that relationship with you to the point where you're that close, where you're sitting on his knee in that sense, or there's an embrace. It's that close. But yet we come with reverence and with awe to this Father. That we don't treat God as just a dad or as a mate. There's still that reverence and awe, but yet he wants that intimacy and that closeness. And say, no, let the children come. No, come to me in a simple way. Don't let life complicate things. Don't let how you think you're supposed to be complicated. Just come to me in a simple way. So Jesus then, in that way, shows that there can be a closeness and intimacy. We can come simply before God. But then when we read in Matthew 11, Jesus also then says, come to me, all you who are heavy, who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I need somebody who's about 10 or 11 years old. 10, 11, that kind of age. Yeah. Come on in. Have you? You want to come up? What's your name?
Daniel.
Daniel. Right, Daniel. You're going to need to help me here, mate. Okay. This is your life, okay? Just put this on. Is that all right? This is your life that you're carrying around. So just walk up and down and... Daniel's living his life and going about his everyday kind of business. He's growing up. He's becoming a man. He goes into life and things begin to develop. But along the way... Sorry, can you just hold my phone? Thanks, God. But along the way, he begins to pick up some things. And life begins to weigh him down a little bit. Choices he makes, things that happen... Stuff that goes on, and life begins to get a bit heavy. He begins to pick up a few burdens. I am insured. It's all right. And life isn't such a breeze. Is that all right? And so he's now beginning to carry some other things to do with life around on his back that are causing some hassles, causing concerns, some worry. They're affecting some of his... emotions, and they're just having a go at his life because of things that have happened. But Jesus says here, he says to these guys in this situation, to the crowds he's speaking to, I know life can be challenging, and there's stuff that happens in life. Things happen to you. Things happen because of choices you make. Things go on, and you pick up things in life. But Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we pick up stuff from life, we become burdened, we become yoked, if you like. So this is kind of yoked on Daniel's life now. He can't take that out of this backpack himself, okay? He can't take that off and take that. Now, no matter what he could do, he couldn't reach in there to deal with that himself. He needs somebody else to relieve him of the burdens and the stuff that's weighed him down. And Jesus is saying here, hey guys, if you're in that kind of situation, you can come to me. Because what I'm doing, I'm revealing the heart and the nature of the Father. And so the Father's saying, no, come to me. And I can relieve you of this kind of stuff. And so as Daniel responds to Jesus and as he responds to God, then God begins to not just take the bits and pieces out of our lives, but what God does, he takes the yoke. Just lift your arms up. He takes the yoke and the burdens off of our lives like that. And he destroys the power and the effect of it. He doesn't just take out the bits and pieces and leave us with a sack on our back. He says, no, I'm going to take the yoke off that has caused you to be separated, caused you to be in pain, caused you to be whatever is going on. I'm going to remove the whole lot. And instead, I put my yoke upon you. I give you my life. I give you who I am. And my yoke is not heavy that's going to weigh you down and cause you a burden. My yoke is light. It's easy. And so there's an exchange here. This is what God does. He doesn't just want to change you bit by bit and say, well, I'll take one bit out and then I'll deal with another bit, another point. He says, no, when you give your life to me, I take all the wrong yoke off completely and I transform you into a totally new person. There's an exchange of an old life with a new one. Now, we know that in a Christian life, stuff can happen and we pick up things and everything. But God doesn't just want to deal with the bits. He says, no, I remove any yokes that try and yoke yourself, put a yoke on you. It might be choices we make that put a yoke on our lives. But God says, no, I take that yoke off. I don't just want to change you again, you know, because I've already done that. What I want you to do is live in the good of the freedom and the life, the power that I've given you. So I remove that yoke. I don't change you. I remove it and take it off so that you live fully in who I have already made you. Yes. As a child of God, as a son of God, okay? And so he removes that yoke. And so he says, anybody who's in that kind of situation, you can come to me and I'll deal with that yoke. I'll deal with that burden so that you can walk free from that. You see, if you come to God and you worship at his footstool, just bow down for a minute. Not that you're worshiping Julian, but you're worshiping God. As you bow down and as you come to him, God wants to remove the stuff that's in our lives. And his power is greater than the power of the stuff that tries to stick to our lives. If we try and from a distance say, God, just deal with it, deal with it, deal with it. He says, no, come to me. He says, draw close to me. Come and worship at my footstool. Because I don't just want to deal with the stuff. I want to transform you. I want you to know me. I want it to be in a context of relationship. Not what can God do for me far off. Can he do this? Can he get rid of it? Can he sort me out? Because I really want to do my thing. He's no, draw close to me. Worship me at my footstool. Then the power of my word that then comes into your life will break off every yoke, every shackle, every burden, everything that tries to put itself on you. God's pretty good, isn't he? But as we worship, and the great thing is, as we have a lifestyle of that, then things can't get a hold of us in the same way. Why? Because when you worship at his footstool and God rises and speaks with his word, you take hold of his word in your own life and say, actually, I've got another one. This is cool. Woohoo! Two swords. I'll help you here, okay? So God's word gets released as we worship him. And then we hear his word, just rise. And then we rise, stand up. Then hold this with me. Then we rise with his word and we take that word into our lives. And when things try and come against us, I said, no, we're not going to have that. I'm not going to let that stick on my life because I'm living in the word now. I'm living in what God spoke. I'm living in this relationship. I'm living in this power. And therefore, as I rise with his word, stuff can't stick on me because it gets dealt with by the word. Is that all right?
Yes.
Let's give Daniel a massive round of applause, shall we? You can't take that with you. Okay, then the last scripture we're going to look at is in Mark chapter 6. It says here, when they crossed over, this is when they were going over the lake. They landed at Gennesaret, and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, and countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. I need five volunteers. Five volunteers. Just run to the front. Five volunteers. Dave. Okay, maybe you can just be down on the floor for a minute, you guys. Okay, five volunteers. I need somebody who's got a busted up leg. One of you? Look at that, we're going kind of down that way in terms of height. You just broke your leg, have you?
No.
Right, that's busted. You got a busted leg, so just kind of come up here a minute. Just need to see if you can do this. Do this kind of thing. See if you can do that. Drag your leg behind. Is that good enough? Great, good job. Okay, you got a busted leg. Okay, David, yep. You're blind. You can't see.
Okay.
Keep your eyes shut. Okay, one of you guys, you've got a really bad back, okay, and you walk around like this, all bent over. Can you do that? What's your name?
Hannah.
Okay, so you can come up here if you like, then. Obviously wants to be on stage. And like most girls. Sorry. All right, just bend over this way. Bend over that way. Bit more. So it's a bit more. So that's it. That's brilliant. So you've got to just stay like that. That's great. And we'll sort you out in a minute. Now, what should we... Let's say that you're deaf. You can't hear anything. Okay, so put both hands over your ears like that. Can you do that? Go on then, put your hands. That's it, right. You keep your hands like that. You can come up here as well then. Brilliant. All right, you're going. Just stand over like that. Stand bent over. Hannah? Stand bent over like your back's a real problem. And you kind of maybe lean over a bit and you're blind. And Dave, you can be Jesus. All right. So what does the Bible say here? When they crossed over... they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. Okay, John and Daniel, you guys come up. So can you go over there? That's the sea over there. It's a blue wall, but actually it goes off into the distance there. It's the sea. So Jesus comes off the boat and the guys, they recognize, hey, this is Jesus, this is Jesus. So what they did is as Jesus was kind of walking this way, what's so funny? Right, you guys, go and get your friends that are ill. Go and grab your friends that are ill. It's like, hey, we need to get these guys to Jesus, because if they can just touch the hem of his garment, geez, you want to come this way? Okay, making it tricky. What happened when they just touch his cloak, just touch his jacket? Suddenly, blind eyes were opened. Suddenly, a cripple was walking. Suddenly, a lady's back was healed and she was all sorted. And she touched. Suddenly, he could hear. Right. Now, you're all thinking, that'd be great to see that. But that's literally all they did. In the space of a moment, somebody who was blind touched his cloak. Boom. Got healed. Somebody who was crippled, boom, touched him, got healed. Somebody who was bent over with all kinds of bone and muscle issues, touched his cloak, boom, they were healed.
That's good.
That's awesome. We complicate it all. Well, it can't be that easy. Surely, you know, we need 15 Shundais and something else, don't we, before something happens. But the people, they knew who Jesus was. They heard about him. What does the scripture say? It says they begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. All who touched him were healed. All who touched him were healed. When you draw near to God, what are you doing? You're drawing near to touch him. Initially, really, it's not to get something from God. It's just because you want to be with him. You just want to touch him. But you know, when you touch God, something happens. It's impossible to touch God with faith and nothing be released. The woman who pressed through the crowd, she touched the hem of his garment and boom, she got healed. Jesus was walking in that direction. He didn't even have his attention on her. But when she touched the edge of his garment, power, it says, went out from him. Why? Because she touched him with faith. And as we approach God, as we worship him, we're not, God, I want to worship you to get something out of you, but we worship God, I want to meet with you, I want to know you. And as we worship at his footstool and we encounter him, as we touch him, power goes out. Something happened. His life is released. His word is released. His spirit is released. And things get released into our lives. We get healed. We get set free. We hear his word. Stuff happens in our lives as we draw near to him. The power of his word and the spirit working together pierce through sickness, pierce through challenges, pierce through unbelief, pierce through whatever's going on in our lives, pierces through something and releases life where there wasn't life, releases faith where there wasn't faith, releases health where there wasn't health, releases hope where there was despair, releases whatever God wants to do at that moment as we approach and just touch him. You can't touch God without anything happening. It's impossible. We're talking about God here. We're touching the source of life. We're touching the one who was and is to come. We're touching the one who never changes. And if we encounter him and touch him, something's got to happen in our lives. Something's got to be released in our lives. So you ready? Let's thank these guys for helping out. Let's all stand up, shall we? It's going to be a short meeting this morning, but God's going to do some things. Now, some of you, you need to draw near to him, and God's going to touch people and do things in our lives. But you know, when you draw near to God, what does God want to do? He wants to speak into your life. See, what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit reveals more of Jesus. If he reveals more of Jesus, then it reveals more of who the Father is. Because Jesus said, I've come to not do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. I've come to show you the way to the Father. Everything I do is to glorify him. So if we meet with Jesus, we're going to meet with the Father. And so in these next 10 days, starting from Wednesday, we want to meet with God in a fresh way. We're going to be worshiping at his footstool. We're going to be coming before the throne of God. And God's going to work in our lives. God's going to speak. God's going to rise from his footstool. He's going to make some decrees, some commands, some declarations. And then as a church, we need to rise with those things and move with those things. But also personally, we want to encounter and meet with God. And as a result, the power of his word and his spirit together are going to pierce through things in our lives, bring a new dynamic of freedom, health, healing, wholeness, hope, whatever it might be in your situation. So let's just raise our hands for a moment before the Lord, shall we? Thanks, mate. Cheers, buddy. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just raise our hands before him. He is seated in majesty, in power. He is on his throne. He is ruling and reigning. We're coming before the Almighty One, the incredible, powerful One. He's the author of life. He is the healer. He's the restorer. People came to Jesus and just touched the hem of his garment and they were healed. With a word, he spoke and people were set free from demonic powers. The Bible says, with a word, he spoke to demons and people were set free. So it only takes a word, the word of life. So it's not us trying to stretch out in our own strength to get something from God. Oh, you know, hopefully I've got enough faith right now to make God do something. No, we come before him to worship him, to have face-to-face encounter with him. Then in that context, as we meet with him, he then speaks and he authors faith. He authors life. Because when he speaks, his word is alive, it's living and active, it's full of life, and therefore it authors, it starts, it releases life into us. And when that life is released and his word is released, something happens on the inside of you. Something comes alive. Faith comes alive. Victory gets released. Sickness flees. Whatever's going on in you changes. Comes into line with his word. To just exalt him in your life right now. However old you are this morning, you could be a child of 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 years old. Just raise your hands to Jesus this morning. Just lift your life before him. No matter what age we are today in the building, just lift your life before him. Just thank him for his amazing, unfailing love for you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, I want to know you face to face. I don't just want to know your hand blessing me and touching me. I want to know you face to face. I want to draw to you, draw like those children did. They ran to you. They were close. They were intimate. If you know you've got burdens, stuff that's weighing you down, just thank him right now that he takes that yoke off. He doesn't just take the weight out of your backpack and leave you with a backpack of other stuff that you can pick up. He removes the yoke. He removes the burden right now. Some of you have got burdens that have been weighing you down. Stuff that's been causing various things in your life. Some of you just need to say, Father, forgive me for just taking on some stuff, for just taking hold of things that I shouldn't have done. And I ask you to forgive me right now. And I thank you that as I do that, I thank you that you take that yoke of heaviness, that yoke of oppression, that yoke of despair, that yoke of isolation, that yoke of helplessness, that yoke of rejection right now. We just remove all those yokes right now in Jesus' name. That's not who you are in Christ. In Christ, you are not yoked with negativity. You're not yoked with that kind of rubbish. Somebody here, just such a sense of loneliness. That's not a yoke that God has put on you. That's something the enemy's wanted to isolate you with. So we just remove that yoke of loneliness right now, of despair that's been causing. You've even had one or two suicidal thoughts as a result of where that whole identity of loneliness has tried to attach itself to your life. And God's saying, I'm just removing that yoke right now. You can feel just something happening in you, like a lightness. You felt this burden just all over you, and God's just lifting that right now. If a cripple can be healed just by touching his cloak, God can remove a yoke just like that. Thank you for healing, for freedom in your mind, in your thoughts right now. God's revealing himself to you as your father, as your husband in that sense, that he's your identity first and foremost. Father, I thank you. Just deal with that right now in that person's life. I thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just reach out. Just touch him now. As you worship him, just reach out, touch him. Father, I thank you. As I touch the hem of your garment right now, I thank you for my healing. I thank you for my healing, aches and pains leaving people's bodies. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody went to the doctor just before Christmas, not this last week, the week before last week, the week run up to Christmas, and the doctor diagnosed you with something. He called it a particular name. I just believe God's saying to you, don't take on that identity. That's what you've got. The facts might say that's what's in your body, but don't take that on and own it and say, I have now got this and I've got to somehow get rid of it. The facts might be there, but the truth is that Jesus is your healer. And his word speaks something else over your life. He doesn't speak a diagnosis of sickness. He speaks a diagnosis of health and wholeness and healing right now. So where you've taken on that thing and said, I've got this, just don't take on a yoke of sickness like that and say, I've got this now and I'm wearing it. No, just remove that. Say, right, I remove that yoke and name that thing right now that has been spoken over your life. Just say, I remove that yoke of sickness, whatever it is, name it. Say, Father, I thank you that you remove that yoke as I come to you right now. I don't take on that sickness as mine because you speak something else over my life. And so I speak healing and wholeness and health into my body right now. So we just speak a death to that sickness, that diagnosis right now, that it goes from your body in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, we praise your name, that you are the liberator of our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Over these 10 days of prayer and fasting, starting on Wednesday, as you draw near to him, you're going to find things just happen in your life. Things begin to happen in you. As you draw closer to him, stuff has to happen. As you begin to touch him in a fresh way, then he is released in your life in a greater way. His word is released in your life in a greater way. His power is released in you. It must do. If you're drawing closer to him, it's impossible for things to stay as they are. As you draw closer, he is revealed into your life in a fresh way. And your whole perspective on him and on yourself and on life changes because you have a greater revelation of who he is. You rise up in faith. You take authority over stuff in a new way because you draw close to him at his footstool. He begins to rise and speak and command, and you begin to operate in that in a fresh way, and stuff happens. Father, we thank you. We praise your mighty name. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Somebody, you've got a work situation where things have just been coming against you, coming at you. And as you just present yourself before the Lord, as it were, as you just bow before him and worship at his footstool, there's some things God wants to speak to you about that situation, okay? And as you come before his throne and worship at his footstool, God's going to speak to you. And as you rise up in what he says and you begin to speak that and declare that into your work situation, things are going to change. When you go back next week after the New Year's, you go back Wednesday, back to work, over the next couple of days, God's going to speak to you as you go get before him. And then you need to speak and declare things. And when you go on Wednesday, stuff's going to be different. It's just going to be different because you've heard from him and you've began to move in his word and what he's saying in that situation. Father, I thank you for the sword of the Spirit in that situation, piercing whatever's been going on there and dealing with that situation. The atmosphere in your work has become quite an issue for you, and you've been talking to the Lord about it, but it's like God saying, no, just come before my throne right now. Over the next couple of days, before my footstool, I'm going to speak to you. You're going to rise in something new, and something's going to change in the next 2 days. And when you go on Wednesday, it's going to be different. Thank you, Jesus. There's two or three of you, a couple of people, maybe three people today, you got concerns over your children, some stuff going on in their lives. And again, I believe God's saying, just come before me. Don't keep coming before me, presenting your children before me. You come before me, worship me at my footstool, worship me before my throne. And again, in that context, instead of presenting your children before me, just present yourself. And as you present yourself, I'm going to speak. You're going to hear from me. Don't go looking for me to speak to you. Just come looking to meet with me. And in that context, I will speak to you about your children, and faith is going to come alive in a fresh way to see their lives turned around and situations they've got themselves into. But as you worship at my footstool, I'm going to speak to you. Faith is going to rise, but then you're going to begin to speak something different from a place of faith, not from despair. From a place of faith, not out of need or whatever, but from a place of faith. You're going to then, because something's going to happen on the inside of you, you're going to deal with it differently. You're going to speak about it differently. You're going to pray about it differently because you've heard something from me. And as a result of that, some things are going to change in their lives. So instead of living in despair in your own mind, you're going to be living from a place of faith, from your spirit. So Father, I thank you for as those people encounter you in these next few days, next 10 days or so, you're going to speak and stuff's going to be released and things are going to happen as a result. I thank you, Father. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all lift our hands, shall we? Just thank him for who he is. Thank him that you have his word in your life. Thank him you have the power of the Spirit in your life. Just thank him. You might not be able to see it in the natural, but you've got the sword of the Spirit in your life, the power of the word and the Spirit in your life, that as you operate in that, it pierces through. Things happen. Things cannot stay the same. As you operate as a believer in the word and by his Spirit, that you rise up in authority, you have victory, you overcome, there's breakthrough, there's release, there's God at work afresh in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your household, in your workplace, wherever it is, things must move and change because things are happening and moving in your life. So Father, we thank you, we praise your name. Come on, let's give God a great shout of praise. Let's thank him for who he is, let's rejoice in him. Oh, we praise your name, your mighty name, your awesome name.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.